Let's open our Bibles, please, in the book of Judges, in the chapter 7 and into chapter number 8. The 7th chapter of the book of Judges, and then we will move into the 8th chapter, this passage of God's precious Word. Starting to read at verse 15, chapter 7. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets, and they brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the 3 companies blew the trumpets, and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpet in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord, and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew of the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the host fled to Beth-Sittah in Zerath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters of Beth-Bara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Beth-Bara and Jordan. And they took 2 princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison to you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, Give, I pray thee, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. We're going to end our reading there, and we know that God himself will add his blessing to his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we were looking in the 7th chapter of the book of Judges, and we witnessed some of the preparation that had to be made for the battle that God had purposed and God had planned between the children of Israel and the Midianites. And we see that Gideon blew the trumpet after the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon, and the Spirit of God took over in his life. You remember very quickly, 32,000 men gathered at the blowing of the trumpet, and they joined with Gideon to join the battle against the Midianites. There was an army of Midian of 135,000 soldiers, and they were down there in the valley. And we posed the question, What can God do with a handful of people that are totally surrendered and committed unto Him? In answering that question, we looked in the seventh chapter of the book of Judges, because it's a chapter of great victory and of great blessing. And we found out there is nothing too hard for the Lord, because with God all things are possible if we only believe. Now you remember God then brought us to the point of the reduction, 32,000 men, and Gideon thought to himself, 4 to 1, you know, the option's not great here, and now we're going to face a great slaughter. And yet God said to me, you know, Gideon, the men that are with you are too many for me. And God says, I want you to reduce the army. I want you to tell those that are fearful to go home. And immediately we find that 22,000 men went home, and Gideon was left with 10,000. And as he thought about 10,000 against 135,000, 13 to 1 now, he thought to himself, you know, this is going to be a great problem. And God says, Gideon, I have something to tell you. The army's too many for me. You know, you need to reduce the men again. And I have no doubt that Gideon in his human side would say, Lord, are you sure? But you know, friend, God says, bring them down to the water. And God says, those that lapped with the water like a dog, then those are the men for me. And those that bow down the knee and drink the water on their knees in the ground, and that are not watchful, that are not ready for the battle, lest the enemy come upon them, God says to them, set them to the side and let them go home. 9,700 of the 10,000 got down on their knees. It was 300 men that lapped the water like a dog. And God says, Gideon, set those men, because those are the men that are going with you to battle. And you know, I'm sure Gideon says, you know, Lord, there's something wrong here, because it's now 450 to 1. And God says, Gideon, send them home. Send the rest of them home. And so he sent the 9,700 men home. And God said, Gideon, 300 men. And you know, friend, God knew that Gideon's heart was needing reassurance. And God sent him down to listen to the camp. And he heard the dream of one of the soldiers of Midian. And God gives strength to Midian. And Midian rose up instead of defeated. He rose up with the assurance that the Lord of hosts was with him, and the God of Jacob was his refuge. And he rises up and he goes to the people, and he says in verse number 15, at the end of the verse, he said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hands the host of Midian. Notice the way that he put it. The Lord hath delivered the host of Midian. Friend, listen, as far as Gideon was concerned, as far as God was concerned, the battle was already won. The victory was already sure. And praise God, today we're rejoicing in a battle that's already fought. And praise God, we're rejoicing in a victory that's already won at the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ has shed his blood and fought the powers of hell. And praise God, he rose victorious o'er the grave because of our justification. We can rejoice today that we have a great salvation to proclaim. We have a great Savior to preach. And thank God if there's someone in this service this morning, and you're bound and you're fettered and you're chained by your sin, and you've never turned to Christ, I want to tell you, there's a Savior from all sin. If you'll only let him into your heart, he there will reign while you trust him. Thank God he will put the evil out. He'll cleanse from every fear and doubt, and you'll soon begin to shout hallelujah, just as Gideon rose up and he said, the Lord hath delivered. Praise God, the battle's already, the victory's already assured, for the Lord hath delivered the Midianites into our hands. And so, my friend, there wasn't a possibility of defeat in Gideon's mind. He's not going forward now in defeat. He's got 300 men, but he's going forward, let me tell you, as if he had 300,000 men, because one with the Lord is a majority. Thank God he marches forth with the people that God had given him, the tools that God had provided him. Friend, that's what you and I must use.
We must use the tools that God has given us. Now let me tell you, he used them wisely, as we'll see just in a moment. Not only did he use the men wisely, but he used the tools of weaponry that God gave him wisely as well. And the world will laugh at these tools. But I'll tell you this, they didn't laugh whenever God gave them the victory. This victory was of God, friend. There was no glory in this for man, but the glory was unto the Lord. Now every action that was mentioned here had got to be adhered to. Go down to verse 16, let's see the weaponry. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. In other words, 100, 100, and 100. And it says this, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. Behold, when I come in to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. And when I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon, the 100 men that were with him, came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpet, and they brake the pitchers that were in their hands. Now I want you to take this, friend, step by step, because there's something in it this morning for us in our battle against the world and the flesh and the devil. God gives Gideon the wisdom. He says, Gideon, divide the 300 into companies of 100. And you know, friends, you'll notice that there was a purpose in that. Because God said to Gideon, listen, Gideon, take those men and put them in special places. You see, he didn't keep them together. Some people said, you know, because there's only 300, the best thing to do is huddle together. And you'll either stand together or you'll fall together. And friend, that's important to do that whenever God instructs it. But God says, I want you to take those men and I want you to divide them into three. And I want you to put them somewhere over there. And I want you to put some over there. And I want you to put some over there. And friend, what God was doing was this. God was surrounding, it seemed as if there was a multitude that was surrounding the enemy. And the enemy was feeling, therefore, whenever the shout would come, the enemy would feel they were closed in. They were shut in. Inside. They didn't know it was 300. They didn't realize that any man would be such a fool to go with 300 against 135,000. But this was God's plan for him. This wasn't foolishness. This was wisdom. It was the wisdom of God. And therefore, one with the Lord is a majority. And so we find they were thoughtfully positioned in the place where God wanted them to be. And I tell you, friend, there's nothing can take that place. To be in the place where God put you. And then, friend, when God put you there, to put your whole heart into it and put your whole soul into it. Friend, listen, not to be half-hearted. I'll tell you this. If these men were half-hearted, they weren't needed. God already put the half-hearted, fearful men away. God says, get home. But these men were sold out to God in the battle against the forces of Midian. And so, friend, they were put in the place where God wanted them to be. And I'll tell you, every one of them had to be a man. Had to be a man through and through, because he was standing in the gap for God. I want you to notice, if you go on down the passage, you will come back to this again. Look at verse 21. And this is important. And they stood every man in his place. That's important. They stood every man in his place. Now let me tell you this, there was no room for individuals here. This was a battle that we're in. There was no room for mavericks here. Saying, listen, well, I'll do what I want to do, and sure, it doesn't really matter what I do. I'll tell you, my friend, there was an importance that every man stood in his place. Where was his place? The place where God put him. He had to play the man in the assigned position that God, through his servant Gideon, had given to him, and he had got to be willing to hold his place there. I'll tell you, these men weren't there to question why. These men weren't there to question where. They were there to obey. They were there because it was deadly, serious business here. It was life and death. I tell you, my friend, this battle that you and I are fighting for God's truth today is deadly, serious business, because I'll tell you, the souls of men and women are at stake. Men and women are going out to hell today. Men and women are dying in their sin. Men and women are being lost in a Christless, unending eternity, and there's no way back. And they'll groan in the depths of the damned for all eternity. We're not here to waste our time. We're not here to play our game. We're not here to be a maverick, friend. We're here to do what God says. When God puts you in the place, you play the man for God and for God's truth. Because before they went to their assigned position, God says, take the designed and purposed weaponry with you. And friend, I want us to look now just exactly before the men go. God says, Gideon, give them their weapons. And Gideon hands out, and the first man comes forward, and Gideon says, here's your weapon, son. And he hands him a trumpet. Just take you that in your right hand, son. And he says, you see that picture? He says, I want you to take that in the left hand. But he says, listen, inside it you'll put a lamp. Inside you'll put a torch. And he's waiting now for the sword. Friend, listen, there's no sword. He's to cry the sword of the Lord. But friend, all he had in his hand was a pitcher. In the other hand, he had a trumpet. And then God says to him, he says, now take your place. And sometimes we don't understand, friend, the leading and the direction of God, friend. But listen, this is God's wisdom. There is no mistake here. You know, humanly speaking, they would say this is a suicide mission. It's not of the sort, friend. No suicide missions with God. This is a victory mission. This is the assured victory that God had promised to give. Listen, the Lord hath delivered. The Lord hath delivered the Midianites and the host of Midian into your hand. And those men, the 300 men, now they're armed. They're ready to go. Let's stop a wee moment. What about these weapons? What are they all about, friend? God said, hand them a trumpet. And friend, let us think first of all, the sounding of the trumpet. What does that speak to us of? What does that speak to you and me of, friend? Let me tell you, friend. It speaks to us of our testimony, of our witness. In 1 Thessalonians, keep your hand there, 1 Thessalonians. And in the chapter 1, in the verse 18 it says, or verse 8 it says these words, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. They sounded out, friend, their faith. It was their testimony. It was their testimony. And I'll tell you this, we need to blow the trumpet. The gospel trumpet needs to be sounded, and we need to sound it clearly. Our testimony must be consistent. Our witness must be clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8 it says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? And friend, our testimony must be a very clear testimony. Our testimony must be a certain testimony. What a tragedy, what an awful tragedy if the sounding of our trumpet is uncertain. Oh, there's so many today, and they're trying to minimize the message that we have to preach. Let me tell you, friend, the Word of God is still the Word of God, the same today as it was yesterday. And our fathers, when they preached against sin, and when they preached about hell, and they preached about judgment, and they preached about God's damnation for sin,
And for sinners, let me tell you, friend, that message has got to be sounded clear. Oh, there's not a popular, it's not popular. People laugh at you. When you stand up and preach the word of God without apology and declare the message that God has given, it's a message, friend. Listen, when they blew the trumpets, it was a sound, it was a declaration of war against the enemies of God, the Midianites. When the preacher stands in the pulpit, he has got to blow the trumpet because it's a declaration of war against sin and Satan. And the devil doesn't like it, and the devil's crowd doesn't like it. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1 it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob their sins." Friend, we have to blow the trumpet loud and we have to blow the trumpet clear. But our testimony has got to be consistent. And our testimony has to be clear. The sounding of the trumpet. You can just imagine what that would have been, the sound of 300 trumpets in the middle of the night. You know, in the book of Numbers, we have been studying the book of Numbers. And you know, it tells us that they were to blow the trumpet once. But this wasn't a once blow of the trumpet, friend. Let me tell you, they were to keep blowing the trumpet. And those 300 men were to use every bit of their energy that God had given them, the breath that God had given them. And tell you this, my friend, they had to sound the trumpet. And you can imagine in the darkness of the night, suddenly, unexpectedly, you find the 300 trumpets begin to sound, and they continue to sound. You can imagine the fear. You can imagine the confusion amongst the enemy. They didn't know what was happening. But God did. There was a purpose of God in this. And friend, you and I are to blow the trumpet for God without apology. You and I are to preach the word of God without apology. Paul said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And what an awful tragedy if a man were ever to come to this pulpit, and over his head there is that text of Scripture which can never be removed except the building be pulled down. May God grant that every man stand in this pulpit, preach the word of God with clarity, and blow the gospel trumpet for Jesus' sake, in simplicity, that the wayfaring man, though a fool, may not err therein. It's not, my friend, intellect that we want from this pulpit. It's the word of God, simply and totally in the power of God, energized by the Spirit of the living God to redeem and bring sinners to repentance and faith in Christ. And God says, "You're facing the battle, Gideon. And there'll never be a battle like this, 450-1. But he says, "I want to tell you, there's your weapon. Take the trumpet and blow it. And blow it clear." You know, friend, let me tell you, people think that standing in a pulpit may seem to be an easy thing. There is nothing more solemn than for this preacher to come to this pulpit this morning, to take the word of God and to blow the trumpet. Because woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's why every child of God should pray. I told the folks whenever we're having our day of prayer, the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon was asked the question, what was the secret of his power in the pulpit? And he said this, an answer to it. He says, "My people pray for me. My people pray for me." And let me tell you, God answers prayer. And when God's people pray, then the word of God as is preached, God will take it. The blowing of the trumpet, but very quickly, friend, notice not only the sounding of the trumpet, but the shattering of the temple. Because God handed them a pitcher here. And what a pitcher was simply, it was a clay vessel. It was a clay vessel. And God said there came a time, listen, that they were to stand and they were to carry the pitcher to their place, the appointed place. But friend, listen, yes, there was light inside, but they were not to let it shine at that moment because they were in the midst of the battle. And then there came the exact moment they were to do something with that pitcher. They were to break it and let the light shine. You turn to 2nd Corinthians chapter 4 concerning you and me, friend. Very simply, we have nothing to be boasting of or being proud of. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're only clay vessels. At best, we're only clay vessels. But thank God, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in the clay vessels. Thank God, we have a blessed treasure. I have in my heart, in this old clay vessel of mine, friend, the greatest gift that any man could ever have, and it's the gift of God, it's an eternal life. I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God that, praise the Lord, has promised He will abide in me and be with me. It's only a clay vessel, but it's not the vessel, friend. It's a light that is going to shine. But I want you to notice of themselves, these clay vessels could never have won the battle. These clay vessels were nothing. They were just simply carrying what was going to make the difference. You see, my friend, adding to the confusion, adding to the fear that was amongst the people when the trumpet was sounded, then were these lights that were seen. And why the enemy didn't know what was happening here, because 300 lights were seen all around them. They were camped all around them. But these vessels were useless until something happened, friend. They were broken. They were broken. And let me tell you, before these could be really used of God in the winning of this battle, friend, they had to be broken. There's a lovely study in the Bible, friend. I suggest you go through your Bible, take your concordance. There's a lovely study in the Bible of the broken things that God made a blessing. Do you remember the man that were carried by the four? And they wanted to get them to Jesus, but the crowd kept them. They couldn't get them through the crowd. And they climbed up onto that flat roof, friend, listen, and the roof had to be broken. You know, people were saying, don't destroy the man's roof. Let me tell you, friend, there was no other way to do it. They wanted to get the man to Jesus, friend, and they were willing for the roof to be broken to lay the man at Jesus' feet. You remember the multitude? And the multitude had spent time in the presence of Christ, and they had fed upon His word, but they were now weary. And the Lord Jesus looked upon them, and He knew they were hungry, and there was no place for food. But listen, before that the loaves could feed the multitude of the 5,000, they had to be broken. Do you remember, my friend, the alabaster box of ointment? And the woman came to Jesus and she wanted to show her love to Christ, friend. But listen, before her love could be shown to Christ in its most wonderful way outwardly, the alabaster box of ointment had to be broken. And then the fragrance of the beauty of it that filled the air as she anointed the Savior. And then the sinner, before you and I could be saved, friend, his body had to be broken. This is my body, which is broken for you. And friend, they had to be broken before the blessing came. Let me tell you, God needs to break us before He can use us. We want to be a blessing today. Sometimes God has to break us through disappointments. Maybe we've got plans and God breaks them, friend. Maybe sometimes God has to break us through heartaches. But if God is doing it, and God's doing the breaking, let me tell you, He's doing it with the purpose of the blessing. He'll not disappoint you. There is no disappointment in our Lord. But listen, friend, listen. Listen to me carefully. When they blew the trumpet, listen, it was a declaration of war. When they broke the pitchers, I want to tell you, and their light shone, and the enemy saw them, there was no going back in the battle. There was no going back. They were making a declaration there, irreversibly committed. And I'll tell you, that's what God's looking for this morning. God's looking for young people that are committed to Him and to His service.
God's looking to older people, even in the latter years of their life, friend. Listen, you may be past the speed, 80 years, but God hasn't put you on the shelf. And God's looking for believers that are totally and absolutely yielded and committed to Him, because to be of further use, God needs to break us. Do you remember He said to the young man, He said, I want to follow you, Lord. And He said, sell all that thou hast. And friend, let me tell you, he had to be broken, sad to say he wasn't willing to do it. There was the shattering of the temples. There was the sounding of the trumpets. There's the shining of the torches. Because up until that time, friend, up until the time of the shattering of the pitchers, the lamps had been hidden. Say, what an awful thing to hide your lamp. Friend, listen, there was a purpose in what God's doing here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, with God, there's always a season. There's always a season. A time to live, a time to die, a time to sow, a time to reap, a time to be happy, a time of grief. See, with God, there's always a season. And in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, for 30 years he lived in obscurity. And man couldn't see, because he worked no miracles within those years. And then, sad to say, you know, sometimes sad to say for us, we think, you know, that we need to push ourselves to the forefront. We need recognition. And sadly, when man tries to step out of the will of God and step out of the purpose and plan of God, friend, listen, they're absolutely useless. You see, there was a time of obscurity. There was a time to hide the lamp. Some people say, you know, it's enough. Bob, this is their testimony. You should never hide your testimony. Let me tell you, friend, there were 30 years of obscurity for the Lord Jesus. He had 3 years of ministry. But with God, there's always. There's always the purpose. There's always the plan. Don't run ahead of God. There came the moment for his public ministry. Remember John the Baptist. The Lord tells us concerning John the Baptist in Luke's Gospel. I think it is in chapter 1. Just turn it just for a moment concerning John. He was a burning and a shining light. But what does it say in Luke's Gospel chapter 1 and the verse number 80? Says this, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Till the day of his showing. He didn't push himself forward. Yes, he was chosen of God to be the forerunner. But he didn't push himself forward. He said, look at me. Get your eyes upon me. Look at John. There's no greater prophet than me. That's what the word of God says concerning John. I'll tell you this, friend, he didn't. But until the time of his showing to Israel, he was back there in the wilderness eating the locusts and the wild honey. I tell you, he was willing to take his place. And that's the sad thing. Because sometimes the old flesh, we're not willing to take the lower place. And we'll say, no, we'll not be in obscurity for anybody. We have to be pushed forward. Let me tell you what John said this, friend. Listen, Jesus Christ came and John said, behold, listen, there's the Lamb of God. And he said this. He says, I must decrease, for he must increase. Who are we wanting to be seen today? Who are we wanting to be recognized today? Jesus or us? You'll find later on, and we'll not deal with it this morning, friend. A problem came whenever men were more concerned about us than they were concerned about the Lord. They're more concerned about me and my feelings than they were about the Lord. There was shining of the torches. Very quickly, I'll give you two thoughts. The shouting of the truth. Verse 18. Judges chapter 7, verse 18. And when I blow the trumpets, all that are with me, they blow the trumpets on every side. And say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Verse 20. And the three companies blew the trumpets and they break the pitchers. Thank God they obey it. Man would laugh at this as a strategy for victory. But
But I'll tell you, man has never got a victory like this. And it says they held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpet in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know, battle cries in the old days were important. And even in days of our fathers were important. They used, you know, to cry. Our fathers used to have a battle cry in Ulster, what it was for God. For God in Ulster. It was a battle cry. And the people gathered round the battle cry. And you know, in the battle cry, they would state the cause. And by stating the cause in the battle cry, it was meant to inspire the nation. And friend, let me tell you, that's exactly what happened here. As they stood there on the hillside and had only pictures in their hands and they had trumpets in their hands, and then in the midst of the night, to add to confusion, this shout with 300 men, let me tell you, it wasn't 299. Every man shouted it together. There was a unity of purpose. There was a unity of voice. There was a unity of message. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Friend, let me tell you, they're doing something in that cry. They were acknowledging that God was the captain, that God was the leader, but that Gideon was a servant under. I want you to see what the dream was. Just go back in the chapter a wee minute, very quickly, before we close. It said there in verse 13, when Gideon was come down, he heard the dream about a fellow. And behold, I dreamed, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, and it fell, and overturned it, the tent lay along. Verse 14, and his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered. But notice the way round it was. It was the sword of Gideon, and God was second. And Gideon said, listen, I want you to shout. And I want your cry to be this, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Oh, brethren, sisters, today, let us take the humble place. Let us take the place, stand in the place that God has put you, but be happy to stand there. And be happy to be a soldier under the captain of our salvation. His name is Jesus. Oh, we need to sound and shout the truth. It's the Lord. He's the answer. He's the answer this morning. You'll meet people this week. Poor, lost, lonely, weary souls. Let me tell you, friend, there's only one answer, and you're not it. Neither am I. One answer is Jesus. You meet sinful souls this week that are bound for hell. And there's only one can save them. And you know the old cry of our fathers were, and I can hear. I can hear the hymn that my granny sang whenever she was dying. It was simply this, Jesus saves. Is that what you're shouting this morning? People listening to your conversation, people listening to what you're saying, friend, what you're bothered about, is it to spread it around and tell it about there's life in the risen Lord? But there's one last thought, and I've got to give you this, and then I'm through. You'll be glad to hear. Because there's the staying of the troops. And we've talked about that. They had to stand in their place. That was an important way to achieve victory. But there was the setting of the times. Go to verse 19. And I'm sure, I don't know whether you've watched this or seen this. It says, so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came onto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had put but newly, or that they had newly set the watch. Now, what's that all about? What's the middle watch, friend? It was the time of darkness. It was dark. Oh, it was black pitch. And it was the middle watch. And you know, when the lights from the torch, you can imagine, and whenever the darkness, it was the back cloth to let these lights shine so bright. And you can imagine these men were lying in their tents, most of them, but there was a watch there. But most of them are lying, they didn't think it was time for the battle. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of the darkness and the blackness, the sounding of the trumpets. And then the man would shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And now they would jump up and look out, and they'd see all these lights around. And the trumpets were still blowing. And the men were still shouting. You can imagine the confusion. But it wasn't only it was black. They'd only set the new watch. And what that means is this, friend. Believe it or not, that was the most vulnerable time. Because the old tired watch, they were going off. And the new watch, they were just doubling in. And really, to tell you the truth, they hadn't got into their place right. They weren't settled in. It was a time with men going home, and or men going back to sleep, and men just coming from sleep. And friend, it was a time of distraction. It was the right time. It was the right time, yes. It was God's time. And it was prone to confusion. But I want to tell you this. The devil also knows when to strike. And that's why the Holy Ghost says that you and I are to be vigilant. That you and I are to be sober. You and I are always to be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, he's going about and he's seeking whom he may devour. Friend, God give him the victory. And I want to tell you today. And God has already gotten the victory. May God help us to claim ground today. May God sow confusion in the camp of the enemies of our lovely Savior. And may God help us to stand as men and women of God in the place that God has put us. Blow the trumpet and let God break the pitcher that may be used for service for the glory of his name. Next Lord's Day, if God spares us. I want to preach upon the rest of the story. Friend, I want to tell you something just about that. They had won the greatest victory. And then the devil stepped in. And the last part of Gideon's story is this. He fell at the last verse. You know, whenever you talk about Gideon, I wonder this morning how many knows the end of the story. I'll guarantee you, most people, when you talk about Gideon, the 300 men. Listen to me carefully.
There's one prayer in my heart, and I pray this from the depths of my soul. Please, God, help me to finish well. And I pray that's your prayer too. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your presence. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that every one of us in this service will cry unto thee, Lord, help me to live well and help me to finish well. Help me to be the person to stand in the place that you want me to be. Lord, help me to stand with my brethren and my sisters in Christ and fight your battle. But God, we're fighting from the victory that you've already gained for us at Calvary. Bless us as we come back tonight. Help us to come with hearts in these last days that will listen carefully to thy word and see the signs of the times are everywhere. Help us to be watchful in Jesus' name. Amen.